Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
The most shocking thing happened on Monday Night Raw last night on December 11th, 2023. Seth Rollins was interesting. I am Luke Owen, D-A-D. I'm joined by the Professor of the Truth, your gem, that champion, Dan Layton.
And welcome to
the Rest Up Podcast. I'm making a Seth Rollins joke. Don't get too angry at me in the live chat. Someone's already said I've got an agenda.
Oh, you have? Yeah, a massive agenda.
Is it? What's my agenda?
An entertaining program.
Oh, very good. Welcome to the Rest Up Podcast. Please do press the subscribe button. If this is your first time here and you haven't already, we're on our way to 85K. We'd love to get there by January so we can do a 10-hour Royal Rumble live stream. Please do press the thumbs up button. Get a comment in down below with what you thought of this show. Join the live conversation if you are watching us live and tell me how wrong you think I am. And if you are watching live and you'd like to get your thoughts read out on the air, resttalk.com/support. We'll read out all of them above the $5 amount. Daniel,
yep.
He has made a decision.
Yep.
He went to SmackDown. He went to NXT, but he arrived on Raw, and CM Punk has officially decided to sign with Raw.
Yeah, the real best in the world are the video editors who made that NXT promo sound coherent. They did a brilliant job with that. Yeah, I think this was inevitable. This was on the cards. We all knew this was going to happen. Didn't stop it being a pretty fun moment, though, did it?
No, it was very good. I mean, like, yeah. So I haven't had a chance to really give my thoughts on Punk's promos since he came back.
I didn't review Raw
when he first came back, and obviously I wasn't on the SmackDown show.
Yeah.
I kind of talked a little bit about yesterday on the when we reviewed Deadline.
Yeah.
I thought the SmackDown promo was actually very, very good. Yeah. When it got over like a fart in a church, but it was very, very good. I mean, what was over is his name, because people do enjoy chanting.
Oh, it's a great name.
The actual content of the promo, I thought, got over like a fart in a church. The NXT one was a hot mess, but a wonderful hot mess. Just two dudes just riffing.
Vibing.
Just riffing and not riffing particularly well and sort of dying in front of a crowd. But the crowd had a good time.
Yeah, they did.
But I really did not like his Raw promo because I felt that it was disingenuous.
Yeah, we diverge on this a little bit because I think disingenuous for me is not the right word. But the difference is I'm a rose-tinted naive optimist and you're someone with experience, so like, and well, like, you know, you've been around long enough to be able to see through certain things.
Yeah, I struggle to believe CM Punk calling WWE his home.
Yeah, that was an interesting word, and the fact that he's said it about 26 times since
and he's still doing it now, and it actually became the you know, the context of the promo.
Yes.
That we had.
Yeah.
Today again, we talked about this, like, although I didn't review it, I had a chat with you about the promo where I was like, I really didn't like that promo. I just felt it was so disingenuous. It felt like just contrived, and it did not feel like CM Punk. It felt like someone caricaturing as CM Punk. Oh, I love WWE. I never said that they suck blood-covered dicks in Saudi Arabia. I never said that they tried to kill me. I never said that they fired me. Like, it felt... He spent the last 10 years, not even the last 10 years, spent the last 2 years at AEW burying WWE at every opportunity he could get. So it just felt so disingenuous to then come back and be like, well, I'm sorry. I'm home now. But I was like... I think
it's not your best impression.
Yeah.
The Wade Barrett one's better. But
thank you. But I said to you, I was like, I think it's on purpose, though. I think it's all part of this character. He's going to be revealed as a fraud because there's no way that they can push forward with this as a character. And I think that I feel like I'm on a right track with my thoughts on that because that's Seth's point. Like Seth's whole point is just like, you're lying. You're telling a load of lies. Look at what you've done for the past 10 years. You are not home. You don't belong here. And I'm going to be doing whatever I can to protect WWE from you. But I thought CM Punk was actually pretty good in like this opening promo. Because, as far as I don't believe a word he's saying, which I'm pretty sure I'm not supposed to. He apologized for walking out on the company 10 years ago. In a Vince McMahon WWE, I would almost feel like that was a mandated thing he was told to say. In a Triple H run WWE, that feels like a character choice to say, I'm sorry I walked out on this company 10 years ago.
I slightly disagree with the characterization. For me, it felt like, I'm sorry I walked out on you, the fans. Because the other thing he said a lot.
I don't buy that either.
Well, that's fine. But like, well, I think there is a difference though between I'm sorry I walked out on the company and I'm sorry I walked out on the fans. It's a subtle, but I think, clear distinction, because it becomes, he even referenced Indy Hartwell by name as someone who backstage said, I was really upset when you did that. And he said a whole bunch of times, I'm happy to be here with you all on this journey kind of thing. So I think it was, that distinction is a fair one to make. What I found really interesting with it is that it seems so pointed, and to your point of certain things, what can I and can I not take at face value from this person at the NXT show? The one word that really has stuck out to me is like healing. He said this whole thing is about healing. I made up with Triple H, you made up with Brett kind of thing. And I see him as someone who has been humbled by what happened in AEW. I read wrestling the same way I watch a movie, the same way I watch telly. I read into it. I get what I take from it. Not necessarily, like, I'm not always right. I just... You know, it's an interpretation of this weird blend of fiction and reality. But AEW was a house that kind of was built for him. Like, the idea that like, it wasn't necessarily specifically built for him, but the First Dance or the Last Dance, or I can't remember, was it First Dance?
The First Dance.
The First Dance. That felt like a pinnacle moment.
I would also say, to your point, Tony Khan has spoken very openly about this, but when he launched AEW, he said the top names that he wanted to sign were Cody, Jericho, Kenny, The Bucks, and Punk.
Right. So it's being too specific to say it was built for him, but it was house
Tony Khan wanted to sign him.
Exactly. It was a house built in his name, in his honor, with the hope that he would one day come into it, and he did come into it, and he huffed and he puffed and he blew that house almost to the ground. And now he has had to walk back into, and this is one of the things I was saying on that Raw that you weren't here for, that first Raw. I got the sense that he didn't like the fact that he realized that this was a kind of home for him. That he realized that it was like, oh no, I actually am part of this machine kind of thing. And the machinations with Seth, which we'll get into when we talk about Seth's half of what I thought was an outstanding segment, is really interesting. But there was something in the idea that he's had to come back tail between his legs to a company that's in much better shape than it was when he cut his initial pipe bomb and had to...
It's even in a much better shape than when he cut his first promo in AEW.
Exactly. It 100% is. And so the idea that he's sort of had to come back and play within that kind of... They're like, we'll play with you, but it's our house and you have to obey by our rules kind of thing. He's got to now toe the line between both being this company guy... team player, but also the rebellious in-your-face spirit of Punk that we know and want.
Yeah.
It's a really compelling presence.
Which is why you can see the sort of like skirting that he's trying to do, which is again why I feel like it is purposefully disingenuous in this whole thing of like, because he never is referencing the things he has said about WWE. Other people are referencing what he's done for the past 10 years, but he is not doing it. And I think that is a character choice that he is not bringing that up, because he probably still feels that way about, and I'm talking about CM Punk as a character. Like, I don't know the man personally, but I agree with you. I do think that the AEW experience certainly humbled him, and I don't think he particularly enjoyed working there, particularly in the last year or so. And now he's gone back because he's like, I'd actually quite like to go back to work for a company. And Jericho said this about WCW. He said that going into WWE was like going from black and white into color, where you go into a company who's like, oh, this is actually the inmates are not running the asylum. There is a boss in charge and everyone is a team player. Here.
Structure is nice.
Structure is nice. And I feel like maybe there is part of that. But the fact that he never is referencing the things that he has said, I think is part of that sort of the disingenuous nature of his promos.
And to your point, he kind of glossed over how it went down a little bit. It wasn't
absolutely,
he walked out.
Yeah.
And almost treating it like it was a mental health break rather than a, I'm sick of this BS.
I'm sick of this place.
Yeah.
And I walked out. And what it almost was saying was, I took my ball and I went home, which is a very WWE line. Like, that's the narrative that WWE have played. That's what they did with Sasha and Naomi. They took their balls and they went home. Steve Austin took his ball and he went home. They said the same thing about Punk, but Punk is basically just being like, I made the choice to walk out and I am sorry. But he's never referencing, like, and then so when Seth Rollins comes out and be like, how dare you like come out here, be gone for 10 years and then just act like it's fine, because it's not fine. It's kind of then weird that, you know, backstage it's only Seth that sees this, because like Kofi Kingston and Chad Gable and Drew McIntyre and, well, actually not Drew, but who else was in that segment? Ricochet. We're all like, hey, it's great to see you. And he's talking about like, everyone's quite happy for me to be here with the exception of Drew and Seth, who are like the one thing they're aligned on.
Well, also on SmackDown, LA Knight and Randy Orton had a weird moment with him where they kind of weren't sure how to deal with it. And there was an incroyable stare down with Kevin Owens, which for me was like the opposite of, I hate that this is going to sound like I'm slamming AEW or making it a tribal thing. It's just interesting to contrast
that's
it.
What you do.
I know Triple H is over there with a big stack of cash and I really want it all. I've got taxes to pay. They created Collision as a home for him away from everybody else. They created, there was this whole thing of the books, well, they don't want to work with him. They're not interested in working with him. Maybe if in 6 months' time he's shown himself to be different or something else, we'll consider working with him.
And it lasted 2 weeks.
Exactly. What's happened here is he's walked into the company. He's had a face-off with Cody. He's had a face-off with KO. He's had a face-off with, and in this moment, he's had a face-to-face in-ring segment with the man who went viral for flipping him off and losing his mind on, you know, the Survivor Series return, who has in the past called him a cancer, you know, in a very honest promo when he was signed to a different company.
Sean Ross Sapp said on the Fightful Post show, he doesn't like him.
No.
He, like, when he says, CM Punk, I hate you. Like, that is a real, genuine thing. Seth Rollins hates CM Punk.
Yeah.
And there are a lot of people that hate CM Punk, but are willing to work with CM Punk because they know it makes business sense to work with CM Punk.
And I think that is the contrast here that makes me feel like it is something that I am. It's that blend of reality and fiction rather than it being like a car crash to watch. Do you know what I mean?
Like, I said this in my edited review. Like, I thought everything about this segment was captivating. Like, it wasn't just that Punk was so interesting in the way that he words his apologies and the way that he tiptoes around the previous 10 years and why he went away, never bringing up, they fired me on my wedding day. I had a massive lawsuit with Chris Amann, the doctor, because I said on a podcast, they were trying to kill me. And I've said very bad things about their deals with Saudi Arabia. They're just sort of tiptoeing around this, but they've managed to blend that perfectly with Seth Rollins to come out and be like, look, you don't have to say explicitly, we all know what you have said about WWE.
Because we were all listening. This is the home we've been building.
We all know what you said about all of us working in this company.
And you kind of said it in your edited review as well. Like, Seth was the face of the worst part of all of that.
Of course he was, yeah.
And he was the company guy who sucked it up and did it. And then you get the interesting reality fiction wrinkle. And I know that last time I said that we shouldn't really be looking at contracts and things like that. I don't mean necessarily that we shouldn't look at them. And in your case, it is literally your job. And you do, and you should. But it is interesting that on the day that a report came out about his contract being up, here he is on television talking about how this is actually my home and I built this and you're a jolly come lately kind of thing.
Yeah.
We'll get into the meat of the promo, but the kind of last thing that I want to draw a line of the overall concept before we go in was that I said on that first week back that WWE doesn't need Punk, right? And that was, I think, misunderstood or misinterpreted by some in the comments who kind of thought I meant it. Punk has no value. That's the opposite of what I was saying. It was not the opposite. It wasn't what I was saying. What I was saying was WWE are going to have a great run towards WrestleMania based on their work that they've put in over the past year, the number of stars they've built. Look at War Games.
They don't need Punk.
They don't need Punk. Does that mean Punk is not an asset? No.
Not at all.
Because what the past two episodes, SmackDown and Raw have shown is that he now has a shadow over everything. He is a presence who can be inserted in here. With one promo on SmackDown, he said, here are six pay-per-view matches that you're going to want to see. And tune into Raw because you're going to want to watch that as well. He is an asset, one that they don't need, but one that brings an immense amount of value.
I mean, you look at it from an AEW perspective. When you look at that week, that All Out week that they had in 2021, by the end of All Out, you could look at AEW and be like, actually, they don't need Punk either, mm-hmm. because they brought in Bryan Danielson and Adam Cole, and Minoru Suzuki was on the show, and he was like, man, this feels like the hottest brand. They didn't need Punk, mm-hmm. but having Punk there was a huge asset to the company, and you brought so much with him. The same thing here. Like, WWE don't need to have him on the books, but it's better to have him on the books, mm-hmm. because look at what the great stuff you get out of this. But they would have been doing great without him. Mm-hmm. But so Punk, you know, came out, he's like, can you apologize? And one of the things I'm really enjoying about the CM Punk return is just how wonderfully poetic everything seems to find its way into being. It's like almost like fate, and I'm not someone who particularly believes in that sort of concepts and stuff. But this was the building he walked out on. The building they were in was the same building he walked out on WWE.
It's not like they booked it because he was coming back.
No, in the same way that Survivor Series was in Chicago. And they didn't book it because they were getting CM Punk.
It was booked when he was still signed to a different company.
Exactly. It's just it happened here. And it's happenstance that we're now in Cleveland. And it's happenstance that his first match in WWE is going to be 10 years since he last had a match in WWE in the Royal Rumble.
Do you think that's the first time he's going to wrestle?
They were saying on commentary, like, they were putting over, this is the first time he stepped into a WWE ring will be the Royal Rumble, and it'll be 10 years, more or less to the day, that he last was in the WWE ring as an active competitor. So I don't think he's going to have a match until the Rumble.
It's a good opportunity.
Honestly, I wouldn't. Mm-hmm. I wouldn't have him wrestle until the Rumble. Mm-hmm. You want to keep that special. You want to have that as a big part of the draw, is what's CM Punk going to be like in the Rumble? Mm-hmm. Also, he's made of glass. You know, saw that in his AEW run, got injured twice while champion. So he talked about, you know, he walked out on the building, and while he had great conversations with Aldis and he had great conversations with HBK, Adam Pearce's offer is bigger. But once he realized that this Raw was in the same building he walked out on, the choice was already made, because he wants to try and make it up. So he signs with Raw, officially joins the Raw roster, and he's there celebrating, and out comes Seth Rollins. Look, I made a joke at the start of this that Seth Rollins was interesting. I do it as a trolling thing, but I've not been into Seth.
Yeah.
And I don't think I'm alone in that I've not been. I know there are people in our live chat here, and there are people in the comments that be like, no, I like Seth. And that's fine. Like, I'm not saying you're wrong, but he's not doing it for me. This world title is not doing it for me, and he as champion is not doing it for me. But I thought he was magnificent in this segment, because this wasn't Seth Rollins the character. This almost felt like Colby Lopez, the person who was sort of like...
Name.
I believe that's his name, yeah.
I thought it was Tyler Black. That's his other ring
name. That was his ROH name.
Gotcha.
Being like, no, I don't buy it. I absolutely don't believe a word you're saying. Mm. You're not home. This is not your home. You walked out 10 years ago and you said nothing but bad things about this place for the last 10 years, and about me and about my brothers and sisters in the back. They are my brothers and sisters. Everyone watching at home, that's my family. This is my house. This is not your house. And how dare you say that? And he's like, and I'm glad you're on Raw, because it's going to blow up and you're going to be exposed for the fraud that you are, or we're going to be able to get into the ring for this world title and I'll expose you for the fraud that you are. He's looking at this as a win-win scenario. And like, within this one promo that Rollins had here, I'm like, actually, I want to see this match. Yesterday, wasn't all that bothered. I saw someone in the live chat before this started saying, I don't think I can think of a modern match I'd like to see less than Seth Rollins versus CM Punk.
Get out of town.
But
I thought I was a contrarian.
But I think that I would disagree with that, because I think I, on the strength of this promo, yesterday I was like, someone asked us, like, what's your five match you'd like to see? Rollins was not in contention for it.
Yeah, I think mine wasn't either.
But on the strength of this promo, I'm like, yeah, I want to see that promo. I want to see that match, rather. Do I want to see it as the WrestleMania main event of night one, though, is a slightly different question.
I'll go you one further.
Go for it.
I want to see this match based on the before promo, when they stood and looked at each other alone. Because the noise in that arena was unreal. First of all, to your point about it not even maybe being Seth Rollins the character, I thought he did a brilliant job of dancing around the reality and the fiction, like blending that. The osmosis, it's like a muslin cloth, the line between reality and fiction and wrestling. And they did a brilliant job of like allowing that to flow through either way. Because he does come out and he's got his song and he's doing his performance and he's making chocolate, of course, in his Willy Wonka outfit. And like, there's something magnetic about him. And then they start looking at each other.
He stops.
And he does a very real section. And then he sort of brings a character back around. Mm-hmm. Not unlike Cora Jade. that was me doing a joke. But there was something really... Oh, it was so compelling and so magnetic. And then before the promo really got underway, you had in the audience a dueling moment of CM Punk. And then that was drowned out by them singing Seth's song.
Drowned out. This crowd were more behind Seth than they were Punk.
And I remember a couple of weeks ago, we talked about CM Punk chants in Seth's match. And I said it wasn't like a boring chant or a we want CM Punk chant. It felt like a goading CM Punk thing. And during Punk's promo on SmackDown, he queued up Rollins without saying his name, Mike Mark you, and we'll get to that. Without saying his name, he mentioned him and the crowd joined in almost again to say, actually, we quite like Seth Rollins. We like singing his song. So they were goading mm-hmm. Punk with that as well. And here we go. WWE have been trying to manufacture this stuff for decades. Austin Rock was a kind of lightning in a bottle thing that they've been trying to force down on X with the 96 different iterations of Cena, Randy Orton kind of thing. Mm-hmm. This is organic and real, and it makes me want to watch it. And I feel like I would watch that in a WrestleMania main event.
Here is my smoking gun that I would like to present as my evidence as to why I think Punk's words are purposefully mm-hmm. disingenuous and Rollins is the person that we're supposed to believe mm-hmm. in all of this. Rollins said to him, in so many words, I'm here to protect WWE from you. Now, who was the last person to say words of that effect to CM Punk?
Hangman
Adam Page said, I'm here to protect AEW from you. This... I don't know if that was picked up by the microphones, but I hope that it was.
Should have done it right in. Yeah.
That is not by accident. Mm. To effectively reference the promo that started everything, and it's done this time with consent from every part of this story et al.
Mm.
I don't think it's done on purpose. I don't think it's done by accident. I don't think it's a coincidence that that line was there. And I love it for that. And this is why I was talking about, like, you know, I really want to see this match. My only sort of the caveat, and I'm not saying it's my caveat, the caveat I would like to bring and sort of join in the conversation is this the match that should be the WrestleMania Night 1 main event? Considering that there are people that have been queuing up that we've been saying we'd rather be seeing going for that world title, Sami Zayn, Drew McIntyre. Like, we want to see those people facing against Seth Rollins. Gunther going for that world title against Seth Rollins. Or, to that point, because Cody and Roman's going to be night two, should it not be Becky and Rhea is the main event of night one?
Mm. I mean, she's one of the top stars. Like, Rhea is a proven candidate for that moment.
Absolutely. She should be. And they didn't get it this year because they bumped the tag match above it, I would argue, quite correctly.
I think they should have.
I think correctly so. But Rhea and Becky is a big time match. Is that not surely more deserving, since they've been building it for a year, of being the WrestleMania main event of night one, as opposed to just the guy that's coming in November and is been bad mouthed the company for 10 years and is going to be in there because the one reason he left is he's not getting a WrestleMania main event. Are people more interested in the idea of Rollins and CM Punk over the things that we've been building for the last year that we want to see?
So that's the interesting part. That's what I wanted to bring to the table. When you say I'd rather see them, I think for the longest time it was because it was like it could have been any of them, honestly. Mm-hmm. And that was part of it, was you look at that. That's part of the whole WWE don't need him thing. They've got all of these big baby faces, and I'd like them all in the Elimination Chamber fighting each other to decide who's going to win and go on to face Roman kind of thing. However, Punk wasn't there for a lot of that, and he is now. And that's the different thing. And it's like, well, I'm going to add him to the list, unfortunately, of people who I would... He's one of the candidates.
Absolutely.
And I think, ultimately, you go with the noise the crowd makes. And if the crowd are going to make noise like this, you've kind of got to follow that thread. Now, I think that the fact... So, oh, it was the second... He was doing his promo where he was like, I'm going to join Raw. Let's sign that thing, Mr. Pierce. And he gets on the belt. He's going, best in the world. Yeah, that kind of thing. No music. And I'm like, this is awkward. They played it too early on NXT and now they're not playing it at all. And also I've been thinking, I would like him to have a little stare down soon. So he's not just this guy who walks around.
Yeah.
And then Seth's music hits and he does this sort of very silent, like, all right, here we go. This is a moment kind of thing. And I was like, well, lean forward for this. And then Seth says CM Punk's name for the very first time at the start of this promo. Punk says Seth's name for the very first time at the end of this promo. He doesn't say a lot, but he does sort of say, are you done? Because I'm going to attack you.
I love the, like, and that's the last time I will stand here and let you disrespect me.
I'll give you one.
I'll give you the one.
Yeah. I want to watch it, Luke.
I know.
I want to watch it. And I don't think they even need to see each other again on screen until the Royal Rumble. And I'll still feel it because everything Punk does... everything Seth does has the shadow of the other behind them. And I think that's just so compelling. You kind of can't not explore that. And I'm saying Cody and Punk, number one and two at the Royal Rumble, and let them both go to the end. Which and Gunther in there as well. But I want Breaker to eliminate Gunther, but that's a whole other story.
That's what I mean. It's like all of a sudden, and this is what happened when Punk...
Zayn can be involved. I don't know.
And this is what happened when Punk came into AEW. Mm. And I was arguing against this back in the day when he first came in. I was like, I wouldn't put him in the world title program right away because we've been spending the last 2 years building up these other people to be in this world title picture rather than just throw the belt onto CM Punk straight away. And... and I hate to say that I was proven right, but I think I sort of was in the end. I couldn't have foreseen that he would get injured and then get into fights, but you know, it is what it is. But I felt like a lot of people kind of derailed because they were like, well, now let's put CM Punk because it's CM Punk. And I'm just, so I wanted to bring this to the table because I'm curious. So I wanted to do, we can't do a poll because Mod Mother's not well at the moment. Get well soon, please, Mod Mother. But I might put up a poll of just being like, what do we think? Do we want it to be set CM Punk or someone else? I'm not going to give options because I think that's just going to split the vote. But the idea of, like, should it be Seth and Punk at Mania or Seth and someone else, be that a Gunther, a Sammy, a Drew, a Jey Uso, all these sorts of people, the people that we've been saying, like, these are the people we're trying to push into this main event scene.
Well, the other side of that coin, if I may, while you write up the poll, was that, first of all, it should be the most compelling story should be the main event at WrestleMania. That's my sort of be all and end all. And in the case of this most recent one, the most compelling story was Sammy and Jey leading into the main event the next night. It was a 1-2 punch. It was absolutely brilliantly executed, I thought, right until it wasn't. But when we did our Fantasy Booking Warfare, I had Gunther go win the Royal Rumble and go for Seth Rollins because I needed someone out of the way so that Cody's story with Roman and Triple H could be done. That was what I'd kind of wanted. And Nina Samuels sort of pushed back and she said, why would Gunther go? What's his justification for going for Seth instead of Roman? And I had that in my head while I was watching this promo and I was thinking about, well, who's on the list? Cody wins the Rumble. He's going after Roman. That's nailed on.
Brandon, you did the poll wrong. I said, who should Seth face at Mania? And you put Seth Rollins or someone else. Brandon.
God damn it, Brandon.
God, Brandon.
God. Sorry, I interrupted. Embarrassing. Would that someone else but Brand? I don't know. Anyway. But yeah, so it's like, you run through the list of people who could be in this match. Cody's going to go for Roman. Jey could go for Seth, would probably also conceivably want to go for Roman. Sammy could go for Seth. Probably conceivably could also go for Roman. Drew McIntyre could go for Seth. Probably could also conceivably go for Roman. Here in this promo, you know, LA Knight, Kevin Owens, Randy Orton, all these people, loads of people, if they want to, could go for Seth, but would probably want to take out Roman because they've all been screwed over by Roman Reigns. CM Punk has every reason, as a result of this promo, to say, I'll get to him. I need to take you down a peg now. Because in a weird way, Seth Rollins has walked into the position that CM Punk was in when I've only just connected this. When Punk was going to main event WrestleMania and then The Rock came back.
Yeah.
Seth's Punk now.
Yeah.
Give it to me in the main event. I'm sorry, I want it.
Well, in that scenario, Seth isn't main eventing either.
No, I know, but that's why I'm saying to correct it. And now Seth main events it with him. Because Seth is in this thing of, I'm not going to do what happened to you isn't going to happen to me. Not when I've busted my ass.
Captain part-timer over here.
Yeah, like, you can waltz in and get handed a belt, can you? Where have I heard that before, Punk? Phil?
Well, that was
Dwayne.
It was the brilliance of Punk within AEW. A lot of people are like, you used to hate and rally against John Cena.
Yeah.
And you've actually just become John Cena. It's why he was doing
doing his moves.
John Cena moves in the Eddie Kingston match under the Samoa Joe.
Imagine they're at WrestleMania main event and Punk busts out rock bottom on Seth.
And Punk starts doing his moves because that's the. And like, this is what I mean. I used to say this a lot in the Collision Review, and people used to have a pop at me for saying it. That's the magic of Punk.
It's
the magic of Punk.
The best story should main event WrestleMania, and I just think this is the best story right now. You could convince me otherwise by February, because there was a real moment where you convinced me that Sammy versus Cody was what I wanted to see. So...
Here's the other thing as well. Like, we need to sort of, you know, move on because we've got other stuff to cover on this show.
We only ever want to talk about Punk. You read the comments.
But, like, you know, there's other things we need to talk about the show. Here's the other thing that I'm going to massively put over from this segment, which I thought was so, so great for a multitude of reasons. Here is my other big reason. It's another person who could win the Rumble.
Oh, my God, there are so many who could win that Rumble.
No. That's where I disagree. Last week, there was one person that was winning that Royal Rumble, and his name was Cody Rhodes.
Yes.
Now, there's two names.
Yeah, there's so many big names going in that could conceivably.
There's so many big names going in. But in the 2001 Rumble is a good example of this. About. There's loads of big names in this Rumble, but it's Steve going to win. Like this whole match has been designed for Steve to win.
Yeah.
But look at all these top names that are going into it as a star-studded Rumble. So 2001 was the greatest Rumble that they've ever done ever, and I will die on that hill. You can have that here, where it's star-studded, but it's really about Cody winning it back-to-back. Now there's another option. Because, I could see CM Punk winning the Royal Rumble. Mm. I could also see Cody winning the Royal Rumble. There's now two guys there. And that, for me, is so interesting going into the Royal Rumble.
Luke, I just want to go to sleep until late January.
Well, I think WWE probably do as well, because booking for 8 weeks is hard. You have to do a lot of stalling.
This is it. Well, we'll get to it in the show, actually, because I felt like they were setting up a lot for day one.
Yeah.
As though that's going to be kind of a pay-per-view.
They really are pushing day one heavy, which they should do.
They should.
Because this is what I always used to say about AEW, was when they were only doing four shows a year, it was like, well, then what you want to do is have TV shows that feel like pay-per-views. And they were doing this for a little bit, like Quake at the Lake and Winter is Coming. These ideas of big Dynamite
Quake
special.
At the Lake.
Yeah, they were by a lake and they were going to have quakes and stuff.
I love it.
Have some Quaker Oats. And, you know, you're having these shows to build to. So now they don't have to just build to the Rumble. They can build to day one, which is in 2 weeks' time, as opposed to try and build to a Rumble that's in 7 weeks' time.
Yeah.
That's a smart little bit of business. And I really, really appreciate that.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am, but Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Burrow's furniture is built for the way you live. From ensuring easy assembly and disassembly to honoring highly requested new colors for their award-winning seating, they always have their customers in mind. Their modular seating is made out of durable materials to last and grow with you. And with Burrow, you always get fast, free shipping. Get up to 60% off during Burrow's Memorial Day sale at burrow.com/ACAST. That's burrow.com/ACAST. burrow.com/ACAST.
A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
But we need to get into your Ultra Chat on this one, your CMDMs, to see what you thought of this show. Thank you to Brandon for getting the poll up. It currently is there, so please do vote on it. Who would you like to see Seth Rollins face at WrestleMania, CM Punk, or someone else? Dr. Joss here says, based on recent history, Punk should have signed with NXT. Three promos with only one being good, and he's injury prone and needs to learn how to work. Being facetious, of course, or am I? Also, would have probably made Kate very happy at Fightful.
Thank you so much, by the way, to everybody who let me know where Punk's lovely cozy hoodie came from. Trust and believe, I've got my eye on the Rey Mysterio one.
Adam Dean here says, while Punk is undeniably an incredible promo, able to blur the line between kayfabe and reality, I wish he'd stop saying he loves me. It feels disingenuous. This will be the first time in years I'm not cheering against Seth Rollins.
But you're going to be making noise.
But no, but the point, yeah, but that's the point that he's making.
Yeah.
Like, it's for the first time. Like, I think all year a lot has been like, I kind of root for the other person that's facing
against. I'm not
interested in Seth as champion. I'd rather see Drew champion. I'd rather see Finn champion. I'd rather see Nakamura as champion. This one, I'm actually like, no, I want to see Seth win here.
I do believe he loves us. Like, I believe massively that Punk is a deeply insecure, like, I crave the affection and the love of the people person. Like,
I think I do agree with that, because I think he was doing a lot of that in AEW as well. Yeah. I did believe it when he said that. I feel like he's playing so much of a character here, I struggle to believe it somewhat. Like, at the end of this promo, I don't believe a word that Punk says, but I do believe everything that Seth says, and that is by design for me personally. Particularly when it's because one of the big things that Punk was rallying against WWE while he was in AEW was hates the word superstars. Mm. Hates saying the word superstar. We're wrestlers. We're not sports entertainers. We are wrestlers. I left pro wrestling when I left Ring of Honor, and now I'm back in pro wrestling. I am not a superstar. I'm not. And here, he cannot help himself but constantly say superstar.
Did you see the look on his face when he said it the first time?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's the point, right? Is because he doesn't want to be saying those words.
I think part of what's so compelling is that people do contain multitudes, right? So I earnestly believe that he wants this healing thing. I do earnestly believe he wants to make good on something. I do earnestly believe he's been humbled by that experience, and he would buy the Starbucks cards for the divas. Oh my Jesus, wept. What's wrong? What have I been drinking in AEW for the women's locker room? And you know, tried to take the guys for dinner or whatever, tried to offer advice, wanted to be that, you know, elder statesman offering advice to people, but also didn't like that he was being pushed back against, which weirdly he turned into Tony Atlas. Like, there was that whole story of Tony Atlas. Like, I believe all of these things exist within this one maelstrom of a person, and that's the magic.
Well, yeah, but I think that's the person. I'm solely talking about CM Punk, the character.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm not talking about Phil the person. I'm talking about CM Punk the character on TV. Scott Young 2907. If it's Roman Cody at Mania, Cody must win the Rumble. For the other winner of the Rumble to not want to end Roman's historic reign would be stupid. Cody for the Rumble and Punk can earn his match with Seth at Chamber or something.
I actually would do the opposite, because I see what you're saying about not wanting to end Roman's historic reign. You just have to justify it, to Nina Samuels' point. The ever-wise Nina Samuels, far better than Michael Oku. I would have Cody be that kind of Shawn Michaels 2007,
yeah,
or 2009, whenever it was.
When he was going
2010,
when he won his face against Taker.
Yeah.
That's what I was trying to think of. I was thinking of Bryan Danielson when he gets eliminated and that shot look on his face. Mm. But you know, do it better like the Shawn one.
Right. Yeah. Yeah.
Outsider Brad here said, "What a great promo from Punk and Rollins. I would love to see the start as only Rollins can see Punk is disingenuous, sort of like in that Shatner in that famous Twilight Zone episode, and it slowly drives Rollins to the madness. Now, the Twilight Zone episode that Outside Brad is referring to is Nightmare at 20,000 Feet, which is probably one of the more famous Twilight Zone episodes. It's the one where Shatner can see a gremlin on the wing of a plane slowly tearing the plane apart. But anytime anyone else looks out, they can't see it and see what he's seeing.
Oh.
It's a great reference. It's a tour de force performance by William Shatner, only outdone in the movie version that was directed by George Miller, which was done by John Lithgow. And it's absolutely fantastic.
There you go.
And they then made a joke about that in Third Rock from the Sun, because obviously John Lithgow is the lead alien in that, and their supreme leader is played by William Shatner.
Oh, very good.
And they come face to face at one point, and William Shatner says, "I had a terrible plane ride here. There was something, you know, some creature on the wing." And John Lithgow goes, "The same thing happened to me."
That's very funny. That is nice and funny. You know who else was in Third Rock from the Sun? China. You know what China was? A wrestler on WWE Raw.
Adam Dean here said, I just want to talk about Twilight Zone.
But it's a very good reference.
Adam Dean here said, Rollins should be careful. Last time a world champion decided to defend their company from Punk, he took his belt. And it's true, he did. Kuzu here says, I feel like a point here is that Punk has to prove himself, and Seth thinks he's full of poop. Whether Punk becomes a lying heel or an overcoming babyface remains to be seen, but it's an interesting dynamic on how Punk's character develops. Mark Flay said, still in working on my break, so not able to watch this live, sadly. Seen people calling this promo of the year online, which is hyperbole. It was good, but honestly, Hangman said the lines better in my opinion.
That's fair. I think it's apples and a slightly different color of apple for me. Like, you know.
Rob Burwell, who's been a member for 27 months in a row, says, Punk being back in WWE and wondering if what he says is genuine or not makes this so intriguing. I'm truly excited to see how it unfolds. Well, that's where I'm sat with this as well, Rob. I think a lot of people have taken my disingenuous, like, I mean, say calling disingenuous lines kind of at face value and not kind of looking for like what I mean by that. But that's what makes it so good. That's what makes it so compelling. I just don't think he's like, I think he's purposely being disingenuous about it. And Ket here says, Punk and Rollins should main event Mania with Punk going over. However, where does that leave Priest? I don't want Punk to have a transitional Reigns or Rollins going over. Are we possibly getting another failed cash in?
Yeah, I mean, the alternative that you could do, I suppose, is have Priest pull a Rollins. So you never get a clean finish for Rollins or Punk. And then you've got more mileage in that if you want to. I do feel bad for Priest, that Priest is the one who's kind of all of the people in the main picture scene, he's the one where I feel has lost the most by Punk arriving.
I would agree with that.
Yeah.
I don't think beating him from pillar to post has particularly helped either.
Oh, no.
Terrence Collins says, I don't want Punk here. I believe he's a liability in pro wrestling. With that being said, I see the magic and the money that's being made. Seth versus Punk will be great because of everything said. I'm genuinely interested in the feud. Punk is disingenuous.
The difference between AEW and WWE is that WWE can Punk without losing too much at this point because they're in such good shape. For AEW, because Tony desperately wanted to bring him in and really, I think, really liked the guy or like really wanted a lot for him. They built Collision for him.
Built a whole TV show for him.
Like, it was heart-wrenching. I mean, look at Tony's face when he's talking about it. Like,
it's not how he wanted it to go.
It's not how he wanted it to go. So I feel like... I believe he's a liability in pro wrestling is sort of a fair assessment, but in the structure of a big corporation like WWE, that liability is far less.
The other interesting thing as well, when we kind of talk about this, you know, this liability and this, you know, he wanted to make mend fences and this and the other with the elite, and you know, they were sort of waiting 6 months and stuff, is that ironically, given what was said at Brawl Out, all of this stuff is coming from Punk's camp. And you never hear the elite talking to the Dirt Sheets, mostly because, well, they've all signed NDAs and said they weren't going to talk about things. So I find it very, like, we always talk about sort of like, you know, the Punk side of things in AEW and like, oh, maybe the elite actually were being childish dicks. And in some ways, I think they were being childish dicks about things, but they've not actually said anything or their camps have never said anything to the Dirt Sheets.
It's always you're trying to read the tea leaves, aren't you? More than being able to speak with authority on anything, because you want when you're not in the room.
Yeah, well, that's it. You know, when we looked at Punk, the story of him arriving at Heathrow, and then there was no taxi to arrive, but then it came out, which was like, oh no, there was a taxi there. It's just he didn't call for it. Like, he was told to call a taxi. He just didn't choose. He chose to go on the underground. And then there was a photo of him on the Bakerloo line, and you were like, how in the hell did he get to the Bakerloo line? I made a whole like joke about this in the rest
of the
news.
Well, he took the Elizabeth line and then changed to Paddington.
But he couldn't have done because, like, I charted what the route that I think he took to get him onto that specific Bakerloo line. Mm. And I'll tell you what I think he did. I think he did it on purpose, waiting for a fan to recognize him so they would take a photo of him on the tube so we can say they didn't come and pick me up. But that is me putting my conspiracy.
That's trying to be Sherlock. And I've seen your corkboard over in the corner over there.
Mr. Burns here said, if they had Rollins versus Punk build over Rhea versus Becky, I can see them using Becky attacking Punk, not just because of Rollins' association, but the ripple effect in the women's division, which would set up a feud with AJ Lee if they decided to bring her back. Becky's also another one as well, whose contract is up early next year. Mm-hmm. Although I would put money on both of them re-signing.
Yeah, me too.
Turner here said, Punk and Cody don't need to win the Rumble to main event. There's a special opportunity to have the big main event and have Sammy get his singles moment at Mania and become a true top guy. I think it should be Cody or Punk that wins the Rumble.
I just love that there are so many options. Everyone has their camp.
Yes.
Right? That they want, yeah.
Yeah, like the 2001. I wanted Kane to win. Like, Austin was the guy to win, but I wanted Kane to win that Rumble.
Mm, I was pulling for Drew Carey.
Although, you know, Kane did have a much bigger WrestleMania than Steve Austin did, let's be honest.
What, WrestleMania 17?
Yeah.
Because he got to fight Raven.
But yeah, the Hardcore Triple Threat, which is the best match of that show.
TLC 2 has something to say about that.
Did that have golf carts in it?
No, but it had Lita. She's my favorite wrestler ever.
No, I know, but like, did they nearly cut the pay-per-view feed and shut off the most important show in WWF history?
Well, she took a top off, so they might have thought about it.
I'm sure Sky has something to say about it. Anyway, let's get into the show itself. We kicked off with Jey Uso.
No, we didn't. We kicked off with a dreadful new opening theme, which happened a couple of weeks ago.
Yeah.
Bland as all get out.
Yeah, I thought the previous theme was bland.
Better. This one was better.
But
I never thought, like, can we have that one back?
Oh, I'm now nostalgic for Feels Like Gravy.
Feels Like Gravy.
So we opened with Jey Uso. He's allowed to say yeet again.
Yay.
They have settled.
And they
with
said him. It about 90 times.
Yeah, well, they're now allowed to say it again. So they're going to say it as much as they can do. He didn't have a great deal of amount to say. He just sort of, you know, was putting over Sami Zayn being out of action now because of Drew McIntyre. This brought out Drew, who buried CM Punk a little bit, and then did this huge fake apology to Sami Zayn for injuring him last week. And then he said, you see, Jay, that's how you apologize. And then as he's getting there, he said, well, we could all stand here and do fake apologies like you've done. And I was like, I love this heel, Drew. I think it's so magic. And there's a few people who pointed out as well. He's so pissed off at Jay for costing him the title at Clash of the Castle. It was Solo Sikoa. Jay wasn't even at Clash of the Castle.
Yeah.
But he's got this big bee in his bonnet about the bloodline. And he talks about how, like, Jay is incapable of apologizing to him. And he had to bring my family into it. Sammy had to bring my family into it. And he just puts up this really good point. It was like, you made my life misery. Mm. But I'm supposed to just get over that. And you won't even apologize for it. So yeah, let's have a fight then. Mm. And that led into a match. Drew McIntyre versus Jey Uso. Drew got the win here with the Claymore after he raked the eyes of Jey Uso. His terrible singles run of not picking up any wins continues. His last singles win was August 4th.
I was tired for the beginning of this. And I think as a result, I felt the intensity was lacking a little bit. But boy, howdy, did they make up with that at the end? Where, Drew had NXT face. Which felt warranted because the Future Shock DDT actually worked once, recent history.
And on Jey Uso in the League of Survivor Series. I thought it was a really good near fall.
Yeah, me too. It was like the Blue Thunderbomb working. The People's Elbow used to work, right? So when Kurt Angle at No Way Out 2001 kicks out of it, The Rock is justified. Be like, what?
Yeah.
Because it works.
So later with the Superplex.
So if you give me these moves that work, I can believe you when you're sent over the edge as what happened here, because Drew then starts going, all right, then I'm going to be nefarious and I'm going to literally gouge your eyes out to get a victory.
My only criticism that I'd have against this match is that we had dumb babyface commenter itis within this, which where Michael Cole was like, I don't think Jay has anything to apologize to Drew for. And Wade Barrett, the heel, points out that he made that man's life hell for 18 months and you don't think he's got anything to apologize for. And Michael Cole goes, lovely arm drag there by Jey Uso.
Michael Cole has had several mares recently.
and there's a big one coming later.
But it was a very good opening match. Mm. We had a recap of Punk on SmackDown, and we had a video package from Shinsuke Nakamura about Cody Rhodes.
I love the artwork in it as well.
Mm, very cool. We then had the Judgment Day in the Judgment Den with everyone. Basically, Finn and Rhea were sort of burying the rest of them for losing last week while they weren't there. And then they all argue about who should be the leader, and they all stood in the row. The blocking's terrible. And then we, speaking of bad blocking, we cut to Alpha Academy and the Creeds and Ivy Nile and Maxine Dupree all standing in a row while having a conversation. And then Truth comes in to join the row. So people have to sort of step aside to let him join the row so they can all... 10 people all standing in a row just looking at each other. Very bad. Mm. And the key to this was Truth is trying to put up Christmas lights to celebrate Thanksgiving with the Judgment Day in the Judgment Den. And Ivy Nile is going to be seconding Maxine Dupree for her match.
He's wacky.
Do you not like the Truth stuff?
Here's my thing. And I hate me if you want. This is the bit where it's funny. And I genuinely enjoy it very much. And then it goes on for a little bit longer. And I'm like, we've done the joke. Don't do more of the joke. Like, you know when you're on TikTok...
And, I don't.
Okay, that's fair. But sometimes I go on TikTok and someone does a joke and they've done a sketch like with the joke. And I'm like, ha! And then they do it for another minute. And I'm like, well, the joke was done in the first 6 seconds. Bring back Vine.
I have constantly heard so many people talking about Vine recently.
It's because Vine was goated.
I wasn't on that either. But I actually enjoyed Truth here. And I thought he was really good later on. I thought he was very funny later on.
He was.
And this led to Rhea Ripley... versus Maxine Dupree. Now, Dan, I believe you in the office said that you wanted to amend the WrestleTalk end of year awards to have a most improved section on there because you wanted to give 5 points to Maxine Dupree.
Yeah.
Do you want to have a little chat about what happened in this match?
No, I don't. I want to move on to the next. No, what happened in this match was very much evidence that Maxine Dupree is a really game old bird. Like, she's someone who's... I have a lot of respect for someone who was essentially brought in as a model manager and was thrown into this story with American Alpha Academy. That's what they're called. And went, yeah, I'll give that a go. And, like, she's athletic and she's got promise. It just turns out the thing that Alpha Academy hasn't taught her is how to sell other people's moves and how to put herself up for them. Because, you know, every time Rhea tried to pick her up for, like, a power slam or a power bomb or the riptide, it wasn't a case of sandbagging.
No, it was not sandbagging.
It was that she wasn't using her core strength. She wasn't working with Rhea to get herself up there. These moves aren't just about power. They're about collaboration and tandem and making it, and she just hasn't got that yet, and it was as a result bowling shoe ugly.
What happened here was someone who is only had one singles match prior to this was in the ring with the women's world champion and was not ready for this position. This should not have been on TV.
No,
but why was this booked? Because they thought, well, this will be a way for us to get to Rhea Ripley versus Ivy Nile. Like, that's the reason why this was on TV. Is because we can beat Maxine Dupree, then Ivy Nile can step into the ring, and we can have the face down. That's what, you know, that's the Triple H method, and that's what led us to the situation we're in. Problem was, is that this is only Maxine's second singles match, and it felt like she had lead in her boots.
Yeah,
she did. She was not sandbagging. I've seen a few people say it was sandbagging. Sandbagging is intent. Mm. This was not intent. This is not Ivelisse and Thunder Rosa in AEW. This was just someone having a very bad night because they're not ready for this position.
I've sandbagged, to be clear. So when I was wrestling when I was a teen, I hadn't learned how to take a powerbomb yet, and I was just in this giant rumble match where you don't have a plan. You just go in. The only one is that these people win, and the last four are the ones who have the plan kind of thing. So get in there and get eliminated at some point. A guy tried to powerbomb me and I didn't know how to take it, and I had to communicate that by kind of sandbagging. If you sandbag, you don't go anywhere close to as high as she went. You know, she was trying.
She
just got it wrong. And I think that's why I'm like, I don't want this to turn into Maxine Dupree has to go away forever.
Absolutely not.
Because I think I have a lot of respect for the fact that she's thrown herself at this and actually done quite well with it. She just isn't trained as well as she could be. And she certainly shouldn't be in this spot.
Shouldn't he be in this spot?
No.
There are people within the NXT system who would have done a better job here. Who are in developmental at the moment. Kalani Jordan, we were talking about on Deadline yesterday.
Great show.
Green as goose poop. But It would have done, would have been a much better position here because she's had far more training than Maxine Dupree has. It was unfortunate. She had an off night. I don't think anyone should have a pop of Maxine Dupree. She shouldn't have been put in this position. And a video promo for the party girls who sure love to party.
Except their idea of partying is supposed to be pointing at things and smiling.
Yeah, go to carnivals and stuff. But Kelly Kelly. Do you not believe them that they love to party and
Well,
rave?
I suppose they get out there and they go like this.
Adam
I want to see them in a video package off their face on Ket dance into House. That's what I'm after.
So this is when we had the Adam Pearce, CM Punk, and Seth Rollins segments. I mean, really, like, that's what they would do. Like, you know, I've heard tale of Glastonbury. Like, that's all Glastow is.
That's what I'm saying.
It's like, do you want to go see Diana Ross? No, I'm going to do a face full of cocaine. And then I'm probably just going to run around
I'll
for
find
a bit.
The sugar babes.
We had promos from Ivar and Bronson Reed ahead of their big beefy match, which was more ad break than it was a wrestling bout. However, I quite like that it finished with a superplex because it was one of those, a finish can come out of nowhere. Lots of different moves can end matches. I popped for this.
It was like watching two real life action figures bashed together.
Yeah.
More than it was wrestling. I enjoyed it very much.
Punk walked up to the Judgment Day and Priest teased cashing in on him. And it was that when I was like, oh yeah, he is the Money in the Bank holder. Mm.
But also he wasn't intimidated by Punk. Like, he didn't seem to be like cowed or anything like that. And that was another thing in the Punk and Rollins promos that neither of them seemed to back off. I thought they managed to stand up for each. Even when Punk picked up the mic and kind of went, are you done? Seth didn't even sell it like I don't know what. Like, they both kind of were ready. And that's the same thing with Kevin Owens, who fully no-sold him.
Yeah.
They were all just his offices. Nope. Lee's. There was something magic about all of that.
Yeah.
It's really interesting.
I love that. So the Judgment Day came out for a promo to do their usual, all rise for the Judgment Day. We run Monday Night Raw. And Dom tries to speak and the crowd boo. It's the stuff you've seen before. And out comes R-Truth.
Mm.
And I was like, okay, I think we're onto something here, lads. And he comes out and says, guys, I've been trying to get into the Judgment Den, but it's both doors are locked.
I love both doors. The heels and the faces doors.
Yeah, the heels and the face door. Both, like, the front and back doors are locked. I can't get into the Judgment Den. Mm. And, like, JD McDonagh is there to be like, get out of here, Truth. You're not part of this group. And Damian Priest is like, no, man. It's all right. You know what? Come on, Truth. Come on. Come and join us in the ring. I was like, oh, I think this is going to spell disaster for young Truth here. And Truth gets in the ring. And he's like, what are your ideas, Truth? Because Truth's like, I've got ideas on how to improve the Judgment Day. And he's like, all right, Truth, floor is yours. What would you suggest we need to do to improve the Judgment Day? He's like, first off, you kick out JD McDonagh.
Tee-hee.
JD McDonagh sells this absolutely brilliantly, being held back by Dominic. Scrappy-Doo holding back Scrappy-Doo. And it genuinely seemed to, like, I think Priest had a bit of a... And he was genuinely entertained by this buffoon in the ring. And then he said, oh, I think you should also stop saying that you're the leader because it makes mummy mad. Mm. And all of a sudden there was this moment of Priest like, I've had enough of your ha-ha now.
Yeah.
I'm just going to batter you. And so he did. And the four of them battered him. And there's Michael Cole being like, what an embarrassing group these are. This pack of hyenas. Out come the Creeds. And the Creeds initially are overwhelmed. Because there's two of them and four of the Judgment Day. And I was like, no, the numbers game is too strong. And I'm there thinking like, well, you wouldn't have Alpha Academy run down to make the save because the Creeds are the ones you're putting over. You would have done it the other way around. No, because the Creeds just did it on their own. The Creeds don't need no help. The Creeds don't care about your numbers, Scott Steiner. They just battered all four of them and left them packing. And Dominic Mysterio sold this so great. He was like, I told you we needed to be careful of these guys. Mm.
This was an amazing segment.
This was so good.
When I said earlier on about like having a little window for Truth, this is exactly the window. It was absolutely brilliant.
Yep.
I loved also the fact that JD McDonagh's wearing a shirt that says all their names and he's just taped and JD on there as well. Objectively hilarious. Priest hasn't really had a moment to do this kind of commanding, like I'm leading the Judgment Day thing for a while where he looks like that main event star after having just had a face-off with CM Punk and kind of no-selling him as well. I was like, good for you, Priest. This is a nice little moment. And so then when Truth pops in and has that nice little moment where it's like, oh, I was fine with you taking the piss out of JD because, well, I don't like JD, but don't come for me. I'll get you. And then, it turns out that Julius Creed's arms are worth three people.
So he doesn't need any help. And then that you're exactly right. That moment where Dom is like, I told you, I kind of warned you. That's what this has been since that very first tag team turmoil match where Finn's like, oh, do you see those guys? They're pretty damn intense. And they're going to win the belts next week.
Sure are.
And I can't wait.
I think it's going to be really, really good. Punk was walking backstage and he bumps into Drew McIntyre for a little chat. And Drew says, I'm here to finish my own story. And they announced that he's getting a world title shot against Seth Rollins on the day one edition mm-hmm. of Monday Night Raw, which will air on December 1st.
Yes.
January 1st, rather. And then Punk bumps into the mid-card. Kofi Kingston and
Kofi.
Chad Gable and Ricochet. And they're all like, hey, Kofi, you're making me crazy. And Kofi's like, I don't do that anymore. And he walks up to Chad's like, I've heard great things about you.
Yeah.
Because Ricochet's like, hey, you're bad at video games.
Here's me reading too far into it. When you're making me crazy, I don't do that anymore. It's been a while since you've been around. The landscape has changed. There's a little bit of that in there as well.
Yeah, they were former tag champs.
Yeah, well, they were, yeah. Like, but it was still nice. And then, yeah. like, I've heard nice things about you, Chad Gable. I'll watch that. I'll quite happily watch that. Thank you very much.
And then Adam Pearce welcomes the three of them into his office to chat about the Intercontinental Championship. I then wrote here, cool, a bunch of guys that don't win.
Yeah.
Gable has not won a singles match since he was going against Gunther for the IC title. He beat Gunther by countout, he beat Kaiser by DQ, and he pinned Giovanni Vinci. That was in August. Kofi Kingston last won a singles match in September. Ricochet last won a singles match in September. By DQ, his last pinfall victory was in July. Not saying that you can't heat these guys back up.
That's what you're saying.
But this is the point I keep making about Triple H Raw and Triple H WWE. There's no momentum for anyone. You just pin them a bunch, and then you're like, and now they're going for what? And now they're going in the IC title picture. Mm. It's like, why don't we just... Chad Gable, he had this great run with Gunther, and everyone was really behind him. We go fantasy booking, oh, Christmas Day, we'll do this. Maybe that'll be WrestleMania, da-da-da-da-da. No, it's just like, nope, that's done. Slam the brakes on all the momentum that you've got, not doing anything. Kofi Kingston, remember when he was just having banging matches on TV? Slam the brakes, no more of that. Ricochet, the viral sensation, the highlight of the night. Slam the brakes, no more of that. And then all of a sudden, you bring these three guys out, you'd be like, and now our three chaps who are going to be fighting for the IC title. I was like, why do I care? These are three lads that never win.
My tolerance for this is much higher than yours, but I absolutely agree in this moment. Like, I was very much seeing them come out, and I was like, oh, we're going to do another one of those, like, sort of big multi-person matches to decide the winner who's going to lose to Gunther, and it's all people who've already been through this rigmarole.
Yeah.
I mean, Kofi hasn't, so I guess he can have a nice match on day one, and then we can save Chad Gable for WrestleMania, but well, maybe not.
It's not like, happening,
yeah,
though.
Yeah, this is it.
This is it. Like, I feel like I was taking, you know, I was the only one sort of banging this drum, but I was like, I think it's over.
You bang a lot of drums.
I do bang a lot of drums, but usually they're right.
they're correct drums.
They're correct drums. But I was like, I think that this Chad Gable thing is done for the time being, and that seems to have been the case. Mm. You know, the Alpha Academy just lose. They are bit players now on the show. Mm. They're a bunch of lads again. Mm. And speaking of sort of like a division that is just a bunch of people, like it's the Party Girls beat the Way, and Tegan and Natty were watching backstage, and the crowd were quiet, and the Party Girls won quickly. It was very heatless and kind of almost pointless.
Not better than last week, though.
It was better than last week. I will certainly give them that. But then it's like, okay, well, the Party Girls are probably going up against Chelsea and Piper. Won't beat them. And then do you know who will be next? Probably the Way, who the Party Girls have just beaten. Or it'll be Tegan and Natty, who Chelsea and Piper have already beaten.
I miss the spooky witches.
It's like this tag division is just franken teams that get a couple of wins, then lose the tag champs, and then they just and then won't be on TV for a while.
You would think with a 3-hour show, I wouldn't say there's only so much time in the day.
DIY were chatting backstage about their mystery third man, because they've got a 6-man with Imperium, and they was wondering if they can trust this third man on their group, and Johnny was pretty sure that they could.
And we all knew who it was, right?
I actually didn't.
You didn't?
No. And I'll tell you why in a moment. But Gunther walks up and says, you won't have a partner, and if you do, they won't be good enough.
So instantly, it was like, I really want the match, and also, can we trust him? Like, or can we, is whatever, and also, like, he's got this similar thing to me, and I'm like, okay, so he's from Cleveland, and you guys don't know if you can trust him, so it's the Miz. And then out comes Gunther, and he's like, you guys are weirdos. And I remember the echo of Michael Cole being like, do it for us, weirdos, was in the back of my head. I was like, oh, it's the Miz then. So it's more of a mystery partner.
So the reason why
mystery
The reason why The Miz did not even cross my mind is I thought we'd move past. Like, I thought we'd move past the Miz and Gunther.
We're just trying to get to January.
I thought
we'll move past it when we're in January.
Okay,
you.
I so apologize. I thought we'd move past The Miz. So I'm there racking my brain of like, who else on Raw could it possibly be? Because everyone else is tied up in other things. And then when The Miz came out, I was like, you idiot. Of course it's The Miz.
He came to play.
We'll get to that in a moment. First off, Becky Lynch came out for a promo to call out Nia Jax. And they mentioned, which is incredible when you think about it, they never had a singles match.
No.
They never had a feud off the back of the face break botch. Mm. Because instead, Nia got hurt, Becky got pregnant, Nia got fired, Becky became an actual star, and like the paths just never crossed. Mm. But now they're actually going to follow up on this. And they actually had a video of it as well to be like, look, here's the thing that happened. Here's what happened, you know, 5 years ago or whatever it was in the lead up to Survivor Series, the birth of the man. And Nia comes out to be like, essentially to take credit for Becky's rise to fame. Without me breaking your face, you would not be where you are now. And I thought Becky was so great in this segment to be like, I'm about time I rewrote this history, because that's not what happened. Because if that was the case, I'd have been a flash in the pan and no one ever would have forgotten about me. But I'm still here and I'm still the man and I'm still the top star in this division. Thought it was a really, really good promo. Nia kind of already had nothing else to say. I think that was the only downside of this.
Well,
which is Nia being like, well, yes, but without me.
So I like the line she had, which was, I am the woman that made the man, which I thought was kind of cool. It was like, it was a great little tagline for this kind of thing. And it made me want to watch them have a match together. Like I said, you know, Nia's a handful of great matches.
I also like that Becky was saying that, like, do you know what you're famous for? Hurting people.
Yeah.
And it was, again, that blurring of line and of kayfabe and reality, which is that, Nia is sort of annihilating people in the ring. But the unfortunate truth of Nia Jax is you've also injured a lot of wrestlers.
I also forgot she'd had double ACL surgery. And honestly, that does explain a lot. Like,
yeah,
it's pretty serious injuries for two knees.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I thought this was a very, very good segment, though.
Yeah, I do too.
Jackie interviewed Cody, and he made the point of, well, we both can't finish our story. And suddenly I was like, oh, Cody, bud, I don't think you're finishing yours.
One and two, please.
I'm starting to think that Ollie Davis is right. Cody ain't finishing that story at WrestleMania 40.
I think I'm busy on the night of WrestleMania. I don't want to be in the studio.
So we had Imperium versus DIY.
I don't want to cry in front of people.
We had Imperium versus DIY and the
No, we didn't. Miz. We had Imperium versus DIY. Did you not hear this on commentary? Michael Cole, like, after that segment earlier on, he went, who will join DIY? And then Barrett went, it's DIY. And then Cole went, we'll be right back after this kind of thing. And I was like, fuck. Crying out loud, Michael. This is Candace Michelle all over again.
You want to talk about someone who's never held a hammer in their life.
Do yourself it.
I bet you've never put up a pair of shelves.
Yeah.
Anyway, yeah, this DIY tagging with The Miz. He was the mystery partner in all
told
of this.
You.
And the match was built around The Miz, more or less, really. Like
the roar on his hot tag. We love to
honestly,
see it.
Like, this was, you know, the crowd went ballistic when he tagged in. It's just a credit to The Miz.
Because happy Christmas to Dan.
I don't know why people seem surprised whenever I say the credit to The Miz, because I say it on every show. But it's
your
a
tattoo here that says I hate The Miz.
It's a credit to The Miz, who has spent the better part of like 15 years being like, I hate Cleveland, it sucks, I'm from LA, I'm the A-lister. And now he's like, no, I'm a babyface now, Cleveland, woohoo!
Yeah.
And the crowd are like, yay, he's from here. You fickle bastards. But they were super behind The Miz, and it built to the hot tag of Gunther versus Miz. And I thought this was a really, really smart finish because Miz locks in the figure four on Gunther, and Gunther is scrabbling. He's looking for Bebop and Rocksteady to save him. And Kaiser is the one who is going to break up the pin or break up the submission. But he gets caught in the Gargano escape, so he can't break it up. So Gunther frantically is trying to get to Vinci. Vinci makes the tag. Vinci breaks up the submission. But Vinci's ultimately the one that gets pinned. Miz hits the skull crushing finale and he pins Vinci. Mm. It's a very good little bit of, you know, moving pieces around to fulfill this Imperium storyline. The only problem is that storyline is breaking up Imperium, which they'd stop trying to do.
Mm.
But I thought this was a really effective finish for the story that they're telling.
It's also been a hot sec since we've seen Gunther have a match. Survivor Series was one, but like we had a good run of him having loads of matches on Raw kind of thing. So I forgot how good it is to just see him chop someone to the ground.
Yeah.
And then put them in a Boston crowd that looks like he's about to bend you in half.
Oh, it was so good.
Yeah.
And later on, they announced that The Miz is getting another shot at Gunther for the IC title. The stipulation being, if Miz loses, he cannot challenge for the belt again while Gunther is champ.
Mm-hmm.
Miz ain't winning that belt.
But he might.
There's always that chance. Like, that's, you know, I thought that was the brilliance of their Survivor Series match was that, but what if element to it?
You're only 3 seconds away.
I think it would be massively underwhelming for Gunther's reign to end to The Miz.
Yeah, but who better to beat the greatest Intercontinental Champion of all time than the greatest Intercontinental Champion of all time?
The Honky Tonk Man.
No, Chris Jericho. Returning Chris Jericho. Yeah.
So, yeah, anyone but I'm quite enjoying this.
Yeah, it'll be fun.
Sean on Fightful, the post show, said, if Miz beats Gunther for the IC title, I'm going to write a strongly worded letter to WWE about the mistake that they have made. I will start a change.org petition to get them to reverse that decision.
Sounds like something someone with tiny balls would say.
And The Miz, of course, as we all know, has massive balls.
He lets us know every available opportunity.
Yeah, he sure does. What a baby face. And they also announced next week it's the men's tag titles. It's Judgment Day versus the Creed. And it's the Party Girls versus, what do we call them? Just Chelsea and Piper.
Yeah.
We haven't got a name for them.
Piper Nevin and Chelsea Green.
Chelsea Green. And then our main event was Nakamura versus Rhodes, which was 17 minutes and it ended in a DQ. And I thought this was pretty cack. And
really? The whole match?
Well, the match was fine. Like, it was a match that was destined to end in DQ. So it was just average.
It was
average standard wrestling, but it was 17 minutes of it. And then it ended in a cack DQ that it was always destined to end in. So I don't think this was deserving of being the Raw main event.
I thought Cody's jacket looked cozy. And I thought...
you're absolutely right. Should have been the main event.
Yeah. The sartorial choices. I thought the match itself was good. I thought the wrestling was really good. The Cody cutter that was not to be and ended up in an armbar. Oh, that was a thing of beauty. That looked great. Then it went around to the crossroads and that didn't work. That went into the armbar. I loved all that stuff. I thought there was a healthy amount of mist. Nakamura summoning the mist.
Mm-hmm.
I've said this before. I'm a simple boy. I see mist and I pop. I love it. I think it's one of my favorite things. I agree the DQ was a sloppy choice. I think it's a shame that the entire match thus is a write-off because I did think it was good. I enjoyed it. We need something else for day one.
I thought it was just so standard.
Mm.
And like the fact that they were going at, you know, 5 miles an hour the whole match, I'm like, okay.
That's a Shinsuke special.
I don't think we're getting a solid finish here. And like I've bemoaned something going 17 minutes to have a duff finish just so we can do 17 minutes again, but with a finish this time.
That's fair.
I don't think that's particularly great booking. I've also noticed as well, Triple H is doing a lot more DQ finishes now. He's falling into a Vince pattern here of just like, that's my, I don't know how to get out of this situation, so I'm just going to do DQs.
He went through a period of that last year as well.
Yeah, but when he first took over the book, he made it his mission to not do DQ finishes. Mm. And that was like almost a breath of fresh air because Raw was like littered with DQ finishes and as WWE was as a whole.
Mm.
And I almost felt like he had this whole thing of like, I'm not going to do DQ finishes. But now he's like, actually, I don't know what else to do. Booking is hard. I'll just do DQ finishes. Mm. And they happen more and more frequently now. But he did the mist, laid him out with the Kinshasa, the Creeds of all people.
That was weird.
The Creeds ran out to make the save,
oddly.
And they also made them look a bit doofus magoofus because they were helping Cody. And then Cody was down with the referees. And Nakamura runs down and hits another Kinshasa while the Creed stand there and be like, oh, what are you doing there? Oh, pack it in, will you? That was mean.
Mm.
Standing in the ring, be like, oh, that was real bad of you there.
Yeah, that was a weird one.
While Nakamura's standing there posing, it's like, Why did you run after the save then? If you're not going to do anything about it.
It was odd. Yeah. I didn't get that.
I thought this was a naff ending to the show, which I thought was a pretty, overall, pretty good. I enjoyed it. I gave it 3 out of 5.
Yeah, no, that's about right. It was definitely more on the thumbs up side for me than anything else. Yeah.
Yeah. I think, in our little system here, I am leaning more towards the up, absolutely. But it's thumbs in the middle. Let's get into your Patreon shoutouts. Please do head on over to patreon.com/resttalk to get loads of bonus exclusive extras like Thunderdome. It's the Thunderdome edition of Survival Series. Stephen Larson from Going in Raw, Kate from Fightful, Alex Queen of the Ring, and SP3 from True Heel Heat competing against each other in Survival Series rules. It's a lot of fun. You should go and check that out. patreon.com/wrestletalk. And later on this month, it's going to be myself and Oliver Davis reviewing WCW Starrcade 1997.
So you got your wish?
I got my wish.
There it is.
And I went through the card earlier with the Observer scores. The highest rated match, I believe, is 2.25 stars.
Oh, boy.
It is a bad show.
Yeah.
And it's WCW's biggest show, and it's their biffest show as well, because it biffs every single thing that it tries.
What's the main event?
That's Hogan and Sting. That's the one they've been building to for 18 months and whatnot. But man, they also had I was reading through the Observer, and yeah, they had sort of like this six man, and then they couldn't do the six man they had planned, so they had to put Randy Savage in the six man. But Randy Savage came in and was like, "I don't think I'd like to lose," so he had to then win, which just pissed off Scott Steiner. So they had to completely rework the match for Scott Steiner to look way more impressive before his team loses, because I don't think I'd like to actually win tonight. It's a mess of a show. I cannot wait. I've watched it so many times as well, but I cannot wait to review it and talk about it and go in depth on it, particularly in that main event and everyone's very differing viewpoint on what happened, because I think you've got what actually happened, one person's version of that, another person's version of that, and then Eric Bischoff's "it wasn't my fault" version of that. Although it just, every time I feel like it probably was his. Anyway, let's get into your Patreon shout-out. If you want our $25 and above Patreon pledge hammers, you get your name read out on the show like these fine folk. The man who wears the gold, the man recognized by Swaff Nation International as the 24/7 champion, our legend.
Reese Cook, what the rock is smelling.
Mr. Moneybags, Rich Holt.
Burly, Rob Burwell.
Daylight Robbery, Rob James.
Yo, Adrian. Rocky.
Der Farm General. Roman Dietrich.
Ross Spooper Scooper Cooper.
Enter Sam Man. Sam Register.
The man with the scoops, Sean.
The movie Luke has never seen, Selena.
The Pharaoh, Stephen Mazzaferro.
That is your Hall of Fame class for Tuesday, December 12th, 2023. Right, let's get into your remaining Ultra Chats, your CMDMs. And we have a poll here. Who should face Seth Rollins at WrestleMania? 86% voted for CM Punk.
There you go. It's a good story.
Yep. Because, someone's just written there one of Eric Bischoff's reasons for the finish being as botched it was in Starrcade. Sting was not tanned enough.
Oh, it does. I mean, it really does make a difference.
Yeah. Kevin here said, Drew being the best heel in WWE, Punk and Seth kicking off their feud, Jay still over, Sammy building to a big comeback, Papa H is cooking. This Mania could be one of the best ever. I cannot wait.
At some point, we're going to have to eat the meal.
Justin here said, looks like Cody finally found the way for him to do his crimson mask in WWE. All of his opponents have now got to learn the art of the mist. Luke Owens, number one fan here, has said, I'd split this into two chats to book WrestleMania 40 main event. For the Rumble, Punk faces Seth for the World Heavyweight Championship. So he's not in the Rumble.
Yeah.
For the Rumble, Punk faces Seth for the World Heavyweight Championship and have Drew cost him the match, seeing as Drew isn't even advertised for the Rumble. Meanwhile, Cody wins the Rumble. At the Chamber for the World Heavyweight Championship, have the final three be Punk, Drew, and Seth, where Punk pins Seth and Drew pins Punk to win the title, screwing Punk from two World Heavyweight Championship chances. WrestleMania 40 Night 1 is main evented by Drew versus Punk, and Night 2 is Cody versus Roman. That seems like you went out of your way there to make sure that Seth Rollins is not in one of the main events. Danny Dan's Dan Dan Cheap here says, MJF gimmick infringement. The bidding war of 2024 has turned into a world war. On a serious note, man, Seth needed this feud badly. It's heated him up immediately. Even my dad, resident Seth hater, is excited.
I think that the whole thing with Seth is just sort of been, because he was great in the Cody feud, and he was great when he came out against Roman dressed in Shield gear. And
awesome.
Like Seth is not the problem. It's this iteration of Seth.
Yeah.
It hasn't landed. He just needed something to give him a bit of fire.
Yeah. Martin Saunders says, I know there are... Sorry, there's a point there. I was just saying, like, Luke acts like average wrestling is bad. I never said it was bad. I said it was average. And I don't think that's... I think in a Raw main event, you want something that's a bit better than bog standard. Considering how good Raw main events are.
I'm sorry, I didn't understand what he said.
Someone here said, I've acted like average wrestling is bad. I mean...
heighten your standards.
as a comment, that would work if I'd have said, and it was bad.
Yeah.
I said the finish was average. I said it was average and the finish was cack.
I think also we should probably aim for higher than average.
We should do, particularly for a Raw main event. Martin Saunders here says, I know there's a lot of great wrestlers, Gunther for example, but some have that extra something, that star power, and watching Raw last night proved it. The likes of Cody and Punk have that little extra, that special something. I think Gunther also has that special something, because no one else is like him in the roster. That Dylan guy here said, let's all be honest, we know that Punk is winning the Rumble, he's going to face Seth at Mania, but who is he going to be last eliminating and have that close match? I've got five names. I want to know who you think. Cody, Gunther, KO, Sammy, and Drew, keep up the good work.
Cody boy.
Cody, absolutely.
I want them to start 1 and 2. I want them to last the whole match, and then I want them to have a final match of their own, and then I want Cody to get eliminated and have a Shawn phase, and then I want him to have to scramble his way through an elimination chamber, and then I want him to win the belt.
It is a it's a real big ask for you to have CM Punk do an hour-long match.
Oh, he doesn't have to. They can take him out and send him to the back for a while.
You're right, absolutely. Put him through a table.
There you go. Nice.
Take him
easy
to the back. And
not
he can come back out on number 27.
Yeah.
Do the final 10 minutes. Moose here says, while Rollins versus Punk, I still want to see Rhodes versus Punk versus Reigns in the main event of WrestleMania. I think that's so much more of an interesting story. I know Rollins is said to be his first opponent, but it can be after WrestleMania.
I mean, I saw... there was a tweet, one of my final acts on Twitter was to see a tweet that had sort of talked about the picture of Roman, Cody, and a picture of Punk, and it was like, who of these do you want to face in the main event at WrestleMania? Like, do you want it to be Punk and Roman, or do you want it to be Cody and Roman? And my response was very simply, I want it to be Cody and Punk. If it's a choice between those three, I'll take the belt off Roman and put it on Punk, and then have the guy who said he was going to change the industry and the guy who actually did in the main event at WrestleMania. Like, that sounds lovely, gal.
But you know, there's always next year.
There's always next year.
That's the thing with, like, Punk signed to a multi-year deal, and like everyone's there signed to multi-year deals. You don't have to do everything now.
No, take your time. Cook.
Having said that, I did say we should wait and do Punk versus Omega, and look what happened there. And I never got my Punk Omega match.
Well, that's it. That's why it's like it's almost them saying, like, well, we can do any of these. We can do them like that.
Never got my Punk Danielson match either. Justin here says, after their face-off last night, I would love to see Drew beat Seth for the title at Rumble, then a face-off between them before the Rumble, and Seth cost Punk the Rumble. Semi-main event of Night 40 is Punk versus Seth. Main event of Night 2, WrestleMania 41, is the rematch.
I'm intrigued by the idea of Drew winning the belt and Seth entering the Rumble. You just given me a little. There's so many options. What would you do? I might throw that one in the bin. I don't know, but it's an interesting concept.
Not actually. Tesco has been a member for 10 months in a row. Says, good afternoon, team. Good to see you. Time for the age old question. Who is your pick to dethrone Gunther? My money is on Gable inside the chamber.
Had they not built up a potential of 12 different opponents for Roman Reigns and Seth Rollins at WrestleMania, I would have absolutely been very happy for it, like all of your Bronson Reeds and your, you know, the rest. They did a US title last year, didn't they? Because Bronson Reed was in it.
No, US title was Cena and this year, you mean? Cena was at
Chamber.
Oh, at the Chamber, yes, for the US. Not the US title?
I'm
yes,
sure
it was. Yeah,
yeah.
Oh, yeah, because everyone kept telling me Johnny Gargano's going to get a big push off the back of this.
Yeah.
Lol.
And yeah.
And I told everyone, no, he won't.
Yeah, that's another
one of my drums that I banged, and it was correct. Everyone keeps telling me, Dan, that I say a lot of wrong things, but every now and again I keep finding I'm banging a lot of right drums here.
But yeah, I would have put the Intercontinental title inside the chamber, probably in the summer when there was like 12 different people who were going for it kind of thing. Now I'm like, I have to, I don't know, just one at a time, one at a time.
I do feel like we're in the position where we were with Roman a couple of years ago when people said, who should be the man to dethrone Roman? We kept saying, he's not there. Mm-hmm. We don't know who it is. I don't foresee who it is at the moment. I don't think the right person to dethrone Gunther exists.
Bron Breakker! It's Bron Breakker! Sorry, it's Bron Breakker WrestleMania.
See, my problem is my big...
Bron Breakker eliminates Gunther from the Rumble. They get the match of Mania.
My big pitch I wanted to
book it, Triple H.
My big pitch I wanted to do was Gunther versus Seth, and Gunther wins both belts.
Nah, I hate people having both belts because then they have to defend them. But unless you do it right, yeah.
Dustin Huffman says my theory is Randy versus Roman at the Rumble. I'd predict that as well. Normal bloodline shenanigans happen, and The Rock interferes. Roman turns around to an RKO, and Randy wins. Not sure on Rumble winner, but at Mania we get Randy versus Cody, Roman versus Rock, and Seth versus Punk.
That's what I'm saying. If you get The Rock for Mania, I don't want that title anywhere near it. Because it just becomes a foregone conclusion. I want to even believe for a second that The Rock might be him. You know?
Look, lads, the strike's over. I don't think we're getting The Rock at WrestleMania. Although, The Rock does need a win. Because 2023 has not been particularly kind for Dwayne and the box office.
Yeah.
You know, Black Adam certainly made money in certain territories. If you look at these metrics, it made money. But I think he needs a big win. So maybe WrestleMania is on the cards for him. Chris here says, hey guys, I wanted to ask if this is the strongest WWE has been in a long time with tags, women's mid-cards, and the main event scene. Looks better now with Raw Smack than NXT rosters being stacked with talent. Absolutely.
Oh, yeah.
I think we've been saying that for quite some time. This is a stacked old roster. That's a drum you've been banging for the last few weeks, is the amount of main eventers.
The sheer
number of people that are currently on top. With some still to return, like Alexa, Carmella, AJ Styles, Liv Morgan, and Sonya Deville. And while I'm grateful to have AEW to keep them on their toes, it seems like the competition has become like an F1 race. Close to the start, but now the leader is miles ahead. And sign that they feel they could be, if they allow Seth and Punk to mention things like AEW, they are confident enough to bring up the competition because they rightly or wrongly feel they can't catch them now. PSM countdown days till Alexa Bliss returns. Jam. That might be a while. She's just had a baby.
Good for her. AJ Styles versus CM Punk is a possibility now.
Yeah.
Just thought about that in this moment.
AJ Styles on TV is actually... A bare minimum is all I'm asking for.
Well, he wrestled for the world title this year. Night Champions a long time ago, and I saw him that's fair, but I'm just like, it's one of those things of like, AJ's done nothing this year, and then I realized, no, actually he has done a little bit this year. But to a point that I hadn't thought about when you said this, in fact I wanted to mention it earlier on, Seth and Punk could mention things like AEW. You mentioned when you're the leader, you don't need to mention the competition, right?
No,
and there was an inference, as you rightly pointed out, there was like a reference, more of a parallel to the Hangman thing, which if you hadn't seen the Hangman thing, you wouldn't know, and you wouldn't need it for context. Punk referencing AEW to crickets, to an audience of maybe like the troops thing. There were a few people in the comments telling us about the audience at, in Providence kind of thing. Maybe wasn't the right audience to take that, because there were certainly some people in the crowd who were reacting, didn't know what to make of it. I almost feel that it's much more interesting to not. I don't like it when AEW takes shots at people to go, oh! I don't like it when WWE takes shots to make people go, oh! It feels cheap to me. That's a cheap heat thing. Far more compelling to do what they did in this segment, you know?
Dan, you've only got to look at my shirts to know that I'm a cheap man. I will take all the cheap heat you could give me. Mm. Nom, 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 nom. I love it.
I know you do. You're catty. You're cattier than I am.
Do it more. Do it more. Oh, it would be so much better if we just did it more.
Nah.
It's a wrestling war. We're in competition with each other. This is what the Attitude Era was built on. This is what we did this every single week. Jim Cornette on Raw used to have like 5-minute promos where he just talked about how bad WCW was.
When was that?
When they were in second place.
Thank you.
Because that's what you do when you're in... That's the point I'm making. It's second place marketing. Pepsi, we are better than Coca-Cola. Coca-Cola sucks. Buy our product instead. Because that's when you do... Burger King. Don't buy McDonald's. McDonald's sucks. Buy our product instead. McDonald's is rubbish. It's what second place marketing is all about. It's what AEW do. WWE don't need to respond. They never responded to TNA. And when they were on top, they stopped doing all the WCW stuff and stopped referencing them because they're on top. You don't need to reference them.
I'd be better.
be more creative. I feel like it's, you see what I said? You're right with cheap. I'm maybe too much of a classy bird. That's why I'm the champion. I've got all the gold.
Well, you are a classy bitch, Dan. I've always said that about you.
The upsetting truth is you know I'm not.
Kevin here said, I watched the show on the train going to work and I had the Dwight Schrute smile when Seth music hit. I don't get in trouble for that. These two are going to have a banger of a feud. Love you, the short sleeve shirt tradition for December, Luke. York Master here says the difference between WWE and AEW is that the inmates are not running that asylum. I think because that freedom is not there, they could be bigger adults in the situation and make more money compared to AEW. I'd also add, the inmates aren't running the asylum at AEW either. We have an unknown username here. Please do let our moderators know, who said, I learned three things yesterday. Motorhead is from the UK.
No.
Of course they are.
Yeah.
Quite famously so, they're from the UK. The Germans really love Starlight Express, and WWE and SmackDown are my IDC for The Godfather. I don't care for The Godfather.
Mm-hmm. The Godfather there?
2014.
It insists on itself.
Right.
That's what it made. I thought you meant The Godfather, like Ho Train. You mean the movie?
Yeah, I don't think they were talking about Charles Wright.
I thought, like, I don't know. It, yeah.
Karma, the ultimate fighter. Karma Mustafa. 2014 coordinate wants its yeet back. Just because you book the women doesn't mean it's good. Wow.
Piss off with that one.
Well, I mean, to their credit, they did book them, but they all both had 2-minute matches, and neither of them were particularly good.
Yeah.
And Hannah Steed says, small update, near Halloween, I sent a chat about my dream job in the NHS. I've officially passed my training, and I'm now the only domestic worker in my ward. So I run my own ward in the department I work in. Hurrah!
Well done.
Great news.
Well done.
And I believe we've got a bunch of new Membergs here, because people gifted Membergships. So Gummy Bear's become a brand new Memberg, and Outer Rim Observer has gifted 5 Memberships. Thank you very much. And Gabriel Reyes here says, I know exactly why the Creed brothers helped Cody, because now Nakamura is going to cost them the titles so they don't lose clean. Glad I could watch the show off work because of 4 years avoiding it. I finally got COVID.
Oh. Yikesy.
Oh, man, if that is the case.
Yeah, I don't want that.
That's very, very lazy.
Yeah, I don't want that at all. Also, they didn't really come for Nakamura. They just saved Cody. It was, it was weird. It was weird.
It's weird to insert them there. Yeah. And now that I've heard Gabriel Reyes say, I'm like, oh, that does make sense.
Yeah, I don't want it, though.
Yeah.
Don't want it.
Right, which is the end of the poll here. Thumbs up for this show, 76%, mid 21.
I think that's fair.
Lower than Deadline.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think that's fair.
I think that's absolutely fair. Thank you all so much for watching this edition of the WrestleTalk Podcast. We are back on Thursday with the Dynamite Review with more Continental Classic good classic wrestling. We'll see you then. I've been Luke Owen, DAD. That has been Dan Layton, your Jam That Champion. Jam That Jam.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why UnitedHealthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.